This is the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, and you are listening to Royal Ramblings.
Hello, this is the man who will not die, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the Royal Ramblings of Robert and Danny.
I'm Robert, this is Danny.
Hello.
We are the Royal Ramblings, and once again we're in an incredible location to record this podcast. We are sat in the House of Commons, drinks in hand, joined by two TNA wrestling legends. To my right, we have the one and only Mr. Rockstar Spud. How you doing, my friend?
I'm all right, mate. Now that I know I'm a legend, that's well, I'm up to Borash standard of legend.
And our other guests, the one, the only, is Jeremy Borash. How you doing?
I apologise on behalf of everyone for Rockstar.
Well, no. Before we get going with the show, I just want to clear something up. The last time Spud was on our show, it got a bit tense between Danny and him. A few criticisms were flying about his skills as a journalist.
Integrity, yeah,
absolutely. And it got quite heated at times. Is everything all right now between the two of you? This is going to be calm? There's no
issue? So far, so good.
So far, okay, all right.
I'd just like to say that Spud has already put his feet up on the seat. Right now he's got one foot up on the table, and we are in the most sacred land and location in the entire country. What a piece of garbage.
Well, this is
no couth.
Absolutely.
I like couth. Don't they not teach you couth?
Listen, I am who I am.
Well, you should apologize for that.
Well, I apologise on behalf of everyone and the good gentleman that made this table, but you know, I've got a really bad hip.
Poor thing.
Yeah. So,
what are you, 16? You got a bad hip?
No, I'm just a wrestler.
So, Spud, it's been a while since we've chatted to you. I wanted to go back a few months, first of all, and Wembley. And we were there that night. It was a great night for you. From one extreme to the other, to having your hair shaved, to winning the title. What was it like for you that evening?
Little surreal, a bit insane. Obviously, we wanted to go out there and give a great performance, and also wanted to get Jeremy Borash's his little spot in the match as well.
It's fabulous.
It was. We wanted to tell a story and give you, you know, people had invested for so long in these two characters and this journey that everyone had been following, and we just wanted to, you know, if people had paid their money or shown up to see it, we wanted to give them the best payoff we could give them. And
absolutely.
That wasn't to go out there and have a great wrestling match. That was to go out there and give you a great story.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that was The Empire Strikes Back, and we haven't seen Return of the Jedi yet.
Okay.
So I'm still going to take down that evil empire, you know.
The atmosphere in Wembley that night was just electric. One of the best wrestling atmospheres I've ever experienced. And it was just special.
Almost as good as when Jeremy Borash flew off the turnbuckle.
In Glasgow.
Yes.
Was that always part of the plan, to get into the ring, do some moves?
Did it look like it was planned? No. I would say the most agile part of that whole thing was how quickly I climbed to the top rope.
Oh, man.
Cat-like quickness. From there, it just pretty much went in the trash. But, the journey to the top rope, quick, just lightning fast, cat-like quickness, that's what I have in my arsenal.
And then off the top rope, it was like a brick going into
the It's like it threw a brick straight up in the air and down.
Splat. Yeah.
I'd like to thank Tyrus, by the way, for the amazing catch.
it was a great tour. We were up in Glasgow, we were up in London. Well, down
and,
London.
And you're back.
And you're back. Yes.
In January, London, Birmingham,
Manchester.
Tickets are available?
Tickets are available, and going fast. It's going to be a good tour. Of course, this is going to be good. It's, I think, our eighth tour.
Maximum Impact Days.
Eighth tour, so yeah, it's exciting. And
you've got all new VIP experiences.
Yeah, there's a lot of new things this time around. So this is what's going to be, you know, this tour is going to be completely different than our other tours. So it's going to be very exciting to see what, and that includes a new VIP experience. So, you know, you got to keep changing it up, got to bring something fresh every time
out.
This year will be no exception.
So talking of new things, a bit of an exclusive for us. You're doing something new, Rush, for
Challenge TV? Mark this date on your calendar, August 3rd, giving it the exclusive here. Royal Ramblings, this is, you know, you guys always break news.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, in my travels and whatnot, I've noticed that there's a lot of digital programming that's coming out now. So, August 3rd, we launched TNA Digital Originals. And one of them will not be I'm with Spud Wednesday.
Why the hell not?
Aww.
What's wrong with that show?
We don't. How long is this podcast?
As long as you want it to be.
We don't have a podcast.
Mate, we did 35 weeks of On With Spud Wednesday, and only when Robbie E appeared on the show did we.
35 weeks. I watched three of them.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I watched them all. Spud. Good job.
I watched them. I noticed that every time Spud left the label on his jacket.
Yeah,
quite a few times.
Just putting over the sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But they're all going to be original shows. So there'll be a new show every day.
Okay.
Monday through Friday, starting Mondays with, I believe, my first day is going to be Mondays, and that's going to be a look back on the first day from the mouths of the stars themselves. So, like when Mark Andrews showed up at Impact for the first day, kind of show you what that was like for him, and what, you know, like the intimidation factor. So everybody that showed up at TNA, it's gonna be their first day. Recap of all that, how that went. Tuesdays, so Tuesday, everything's gonna be a different day every day,
okay.
New programming. The one I'm looking forward to is the one I just showed Simon about an hour and a half ago, and he's still sweating from the Knockouts workout.
Okay.
Which stars
Gail
Kim, Brooke, and Madison Rain in what is described to me as gym porn. Basically, that is a Instagram phrase for watching attractive people work out.
Oh, absolutely.
Not actually, there's no pornography involved.
I didn't see what the fuss was. I don't like girls.
And we're recording the second episode of that with you too.
Yes, this is
gonna
be going
out
there.
Working out.
But it's. I'll show it to you guys later. Give you a little sneak peek. It's really good.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's showing those gals in the gym, kind of what they do to keep in shape, which is very exciting. We've got another show that's a complete piece of garbage, which is EC3's Fireside Chat.
Wow.
The first episode, I believe, is called Why Your Facebook Page Sucks. And he basically goes into why wrestling fans and their Facebook pages are terrible, which is, it's pretty amusing. And we've got every day there's going to be a new show. So
okay.
It's four new shows premiering. We're taking Wednesdays off for Impact in the U.S. So,
so where will they find these shows?
On ImpactWrestling.com, called Digital Originals.
Okay.
So it's kind of our, I would almost say our answer to the network in some ways,
okay.
And the fact that we're just creating our own original content. And you know, except for this is going to be very concise, very fun. I'm looking forward to it. August 3rd
it
starts.
Okay, I'm going to look out for it.
On a more like, almost like a serious note, I saw that Gunnar and Samuel Shaw have been released, obviously, and a while back these guys were being, like, even Spud said to us, these guys to look out for, these great guys, up and coming talent, but they've gone. Is it part of the GFW invasion or something?
It's a 2-hour show and 50 talent under contract.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you look at it, how many TV shows that are, you know, have 50 characters involved.
True.
Maybe Game of Thrones.
Maybe.
He's saying you're gonna kill the characters off as you go along. That's a little harsh.
No, I mean, you know, there's talented, there's really talented guys all over the place, and you know, talent doesn't necessarily mean you have a job your whole life, and it's entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it. You know, Spud's gonna find that out very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've been waiting for my be on the chopping board every week. Jeremy Borash has had me living in fear from the day I won British Boot Camp, so you know, and that's why I'm trying my best to do a good job every day. So.
That makes the stakes higher then, presumably. People have to make their impact that much quicker.
Absolutely.
Show the work early.
And, you know, other stuff as well. If, you know, it's not fair to keep those talents off TV and keep them, you know, to the side and, you know, keep them exclusive to TNA.
Yeah.
And I know full well that, you know, that they're told, like, if another opportunity comes for you and you're still under contract, that's not fair on you. So, you know, I mean, those two guys are, you know, great dudes, and I wish them all the best in the future. And whatever they do, they're going to be a success.
I always tell, I mean, just about every wrestler, there's only so many spots. You got to have, get 100 things going in your life. I mean, wrestling's great, and you can really, if you're lucky enough to have a main roster spot and a long stay at it, you're one of the rare ones, and the reality is most people won't make it. Most, you know, 99% of people trying to be a wrestler will never make it to television. The 1% that do will last maybe a year, and the half of that have a career out of it. So if you're one of those half percentage of people trying to do this for a living, you're great. If not, you got to have backup plans. So I always tell every wrestler, you know, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you're on borrowed time, and that's the reality. Anybody, you know, in a creative position too, you're on borrowed time. It's not how long you're going to be there; it's how long you're going to last.
So on something else, Spud, this week we saw this story of you going to visit this child. He was a very sick kid through the Starbright Foundation.
Starlight
Foundation. Yeah. It looked like an amazing story. Wondering if you could say something about that.
Well, I mean, basically, I always remembered how this business made me feel when I was a child, and I'm very strong with that. Jeremy will attest to that. I'm not like when everyone's feeling a bit salty and stuff. I'm like, oh, the rest has been great, and it, and the, you know, it does sometimes like drag you down a bit. But like you I always think of the positive sides and all that sort of stuff, and I always look at it through the eyes of a child. How I felt, and I had this lady contact me and say, let me know about her son, and she was telling me that, you know, his dream was to meet me, and I that she'd contacted his company and blah blah blah. Now, I'd been told by, you know, our PR at the office that they'd arrange a Skype call with him, and I said to him, I don't want to do a Skype call with him. I'm going to be in the UK in a few weeks. Why can't we arrange something? And when Simon's here now, I chase Simon up like sometimes daily, a couple of weeks. I go, can we make this happen? You know, I live in Birmingham. They're in Birmingham, and that's where the hospital they used to go to. I will go and meet them. And if it... My thought is, if it takes, you know, that child's mind off the fact that he's going to have another operation and, you know, more going to the doctors and everything like that, if it takes his mind off it for, a few hours and stuff, then, I've done my job. And, what else am I going to, you know... Would I rather waste my time just sitting around in the house and stuff, or I could go out and make a positive impact on someone's life? And Simon was there, my father was there, and my father was in tears. I know Simon was a father when he was there. Like, I think you could see on Simon and my father's faces when the mother was explaining what really was, you know, expectancy is if he has to have the surgery. You know, how it feels to be a father. Me, I haven't had the privilege of being a father at all. But you could see it in Simon and my father's face that, you know, it's a different world when you're a father. And, it's upsetting that, you know, at 6 years old you end up having to go through the stuff that he has. And I'd do that for any child. I'd do that for, you know, my friend's kids. You know, absolutely anyone. If it puts a smile on a child's face, man, that's all it is. And that's what our business is about. It's not about money, it's not about great match or anything like that. It's about putting smiles on people's faces. And I think, you know, we can, if you can make a positive impact on, you know, on people with this business, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. So credit to you that you did that as well. I have to say some huge respect for that. So.
On perhaps a lighter note, we're interested about fan interactions. What is perhaps the strangest fan interaction either of you has had over your years in wrestling?
The time I met Spud for the first time.
Was that when he was sick, wasn't he? And
yeah. I meet him 24 hours later. I'm holding his neck while he's throwing up. I'm trying to not let Rollerball Rocco come over and see him.
It sounds like every weekend.
Yeah.
Anyone ever sent you anything strange?
I have a woman that sends me letters all the time, and once she'd been sending notes all the time. I think I've shown you the one where she actually...
Dear Spud, please talk to me. Sincerely, your mother.
No, I get that on FaceTime now. But this woman would constantly send me letters all the way back, dating back from OVW, and she constantly sent them the office and stuff. And then once she'd seen me in a photograph with another fan, a woman who I'd been at the merch tables with, and then she proceeded to send me hate mail telling me how she wanted to murder this woman and send pictures of cutouts from a magazine of her colouring in the picture like it was the woman and putting knives in it, a slash mark across her throat. It was insane. Wow. I have never seen any.
I hope she doesn't listen to our podcast.
I don't even care. Outright,
that's good, but aggravate the psycho. Good idea. Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Alright, that's usually a good way to deter that kind of thing from happening, is to talk about it publicly.
Absolutely. She might be coming along in a minute when we're outside.
She won't. Trust me. She showed up to the
the Louisville shows when I did the baseball stadiums and stuff, and you know, Atlas Security had to literally, and this is a big woman, she's a big woman, like she's...
Oh, now you're calling her fat.
Leave me alone, woman.
I'm sure you get fans all the time saying you're weird and wonderful stuff.
You know what, it's not too much, I don't know.
People can send tweets now, and then that's, yeah, you know, that's what you get.
That's good, you can block those people. Yeah. You never have to see them again.
I don't block anyone.
You don't?
If they're talking about you, they're putting you over, so what's the point? I don't get any abuse, really. Like, a lot of people really do. Like, especially the girls, they get a lot of abuse on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that's completely...
Twitter is the... Basically, and here's the thing that's different about wrestling than any other industry, including any other television show.
Yeah.
Wrestling fans are and I've talked to people that are on Star Trek, things that have cult followings. Wrestling fans are by far the quickest and the first to tell you that you're a complete piece of crap.
Yeah.
And you're worthless, and you're going to be out of a job, and you're homeless, and you're fat. I get that a lot. I get your eyes are coming out of your head. Your mom's a whore. I get all kinds of...
Your mom's not a whore, Joe.
No,
she's a saint.
Don't you
listen to them, Joe.
I'm just telling you what they say.
Don't you listen to them.
So then you realize that it's literally just the equivalent of what I call mental masturbation. It's basically people using that,
stroking their own ego,
whatever,
and I can feel bigger than someone.
But it's really by far the worst in wrestling of any industry.
I would say I get it a lot from another world I work in, and
I
block it in politics. Yes, horrible things have been done. And
that's true. I would say other than
and so I love blocking people. It's brilliant.
It feels good.
Yeah, it's cathartic.
It's like shutting the window, and all you got to do, like, there's noise coming over here. Just shut the window.
Yeah.
That's what blocking is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shut the window.
I would imagine you're right. Politics would be the other place where it comes a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, if the media is already on your back, I reckon people jump on it. Like say if there's Jeremy Kylon or something, and someone's seen a certain person, then everyone jumps on this person because it's been said it's okay to berate them by the media and that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I would think is where the difference is, and I've seen this with, I've got a friend who does it. A really successful TV show that was just up for contract negotiations and switching networks and all that stuff. And there wasn't a peep about it online.
Nope.
Whereas the difference is in our industry, you know, a lot of times when we want to find something out, we go online and look. Right? You know what I mean? Like, so I think as far as insider stuff, it's worse in wrestling, and whether or not people want to admit it, it's completely detrimental to the business.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, does that affect morale?
Absolutely.
When you look
the whole
at
thing
the dirt sheets and see
it is a terrible business because of it. I mean, I think it's really harmed the industry, and it's not just something like this. It's the people that are disgruntled or feel like they got the short end of a deal out of revenge going to, you know, I'll tell this story about this person because they're pissed off about it, or they've got some personal vendetta about it. So most of the stuff you read is done out of vengefulness, which is it's not done for the right reasons in the first place. So that's where I think the big difference is, and that's why the internet and wrestling, as someone who was a, I would say, pioneer in the early days with WCW and everything. I think now it's nothing but a cesspool. I think it's garbage, and there's a very select few people that I think communicate on a basis that's classy or at least reputable. Whereas the rest is just guys beating themselves off mentally online. That's about it.
So impactwrestling.com is where they should be.
Whatever it is, I run that too. I'll block that too.
Okay, well, we'll call it a day then, because you've got to get under Big Ben in a few minutes and film some stuff.
We want to talk about something positive on social media. We put it out on social media. Yep. Spud and I are going to be there in about 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
And we're giving out free stuff. That's it.
Absolutely.
Come on down. Done with work. Get free stuff. That's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
One final question then to end it off. Where's TNA going to be in a year's time?
That's a great question. In the United Kingdom, we'll be happily broadcasting on Challenge TV. And my favorite place to be. I checked on my passport. This is trip number 64.
Oh,
the United
64?
Kingdom.
64.
Wow. Yeah.
We'll have to celebrate in a few 69. Yeah.
Yes, we'll be celebrating 69.
Yeah, I'm sorry to go
there. If it's 69, I come here and you go there.
Yes. Yeah. On that note, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. 64.